cap and a stem, catch a wave on us. Take a shot, make a friend, just enjoy the moment. I'm blue sky walking on these haters. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Good things come to those that wait up. But don't wait to jump in too long. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Denim Brown, three to go. Denim Brown, 4-3. No good. By George, the dream is alive.
Are you buying George?
I don't know. I mean, we only finished 6-7 out of conference.
A tad disappointing, to say the least.
By George, in our Mason Hoops prediction thread, had us going 9-4 out of conference.
Which is a tad optimistic, but surely we're going to obviously encounter like a few troubles with a young team. Yes, and so we didn't win the Auburn game. We didn't win the Penn State game. We didn't win the Louisville game. I wouldn't say that we were expected to really win those. Did you want to really pull out one of those upsets? Yes, but I think the more disappointing thing would be, you know, losing the games that you didn't really want to lose. So, for instance, what was a bad loss?
You know what? What I look back to is the Cancun Challenge.
Yeah.
Going 0-2, not even, like, I thought we'd play a third game.
They were still, like, respectable losses, I guess.
Fresno,
like,
State.
And, yeah, Louisiana Tech.
I mean, I guess, but, I think you want to pull out one of those wins.
Certainly.
Traveling to another country.
And so is it encouraging, though, that you know, we finished the out-of-conference slate with a win versus Morgan State? I would say yes, but...
They're 4-7.
And currently, right now, I'm watching, and I'm not lying. Right now, we are watching Morgan State play Grand Canyon University, and they're down 20-40. I mean, they've doubled their score, and it's the first. This is an encouraging coming from a university that's similar to Phoenix, the University of Phoenix. Grand Canyon University is like a brand new college.
Yikes. I have to say.
Morgan State isn't good. So can we ride high off that win? No. And it's like a 2-week layoff. So it's like there's really no momentum that we're building off this. And we're about to go into a Rhode Island team that's currently playing Florida Gulf Coast.
I think they just beat them
8-3. So they're elite.
We don't need to explain who they are. If you're paying attention to the A-10,
you know,
you
EC Matthews, you know, Downton.
Top 2-3 team in the A-10. Probably going to make the tournament. Them and St. Bonaventure.
That's about it, by the way, because A-10 kind of bombs this year. Morgan, I don't even want to get into that.
Morgan State, 4-7, could be 4-8 or 5-7 by the time you listen to this podcast.
But it was great, though, that we put up 86 points on them.
Right, and it was kind of the same as the tale of two halves, as we've seen all season long.
Now, the Jekyll Hyde bit, yeah.
Granted, Chris or I were not there. If you listen to episode, you'd know that he was in Dallas. I was in the Outer Banks. But we've checked the box scores. We had Petey Buckets paying attention. We had Ron there.
We had GIFs to look at.
54 points in the second half.
Tale of the tape says we dominated. We made adjustments. Kyer emerged.
Of course, we had a first half deficit, 10 points, down 40.
It's insane.
42-32, but man, did we hit the gas pedal.
Right, and so that's just been sort of our story the entire year. First half deficit, and then try to make a comeback. Either we end up losing in the second, or we end up putting the pedal to the metal, and we just, you know, blow by our opponent. And so, yeah, I think when we really want to play, we can execute. It's just a matter of, can we execute? Can the players deliver? Can players make their shots? We've seen some players go cold because at times we expect so much from certain players. And I think when we see the emergence of Kyer become sort of this, you know, big three, you know, if I may, you know, Grayer, Otis, Kyer now.
And Mar. It's kind of hard. Like Kyer, Mar.
Well, Mar's still a tad young, but I still think we can get reliable scoring out of three players now, not just two. And so I think that makes a huge difference.
Well, one of the biggest conversations thus far has been, what is Kyer? Everyone's talking about how he can't shoot from the outside. What does he bring to the table? You know what I think he brings to the table? He brings an extra level of toughness.
Yeah,
he's got good
length.
He's got good size for his position. He can get to the bucket. He can beat his man when he doesn't have the ball in his hand. In this game, he had 20.
Are you having a stroke?
I have a lot of strokes. He had 22-6.
Jesus Christ,
with two assists.
I'm calling 911.
35 minutes for Kyer. I mean, the guy balled.
I think what Paulson's doing is he's giving him an opportunity, and what Kyer's doing is saying, hey, I'll take your opportunity and I'm going to deliver. And so he's putting up the points, and I think even in the last few games, even if they were losses, Kyer has been delivering. And I've noticed a little bit, like, he's a little bit quicker when he wants to be. Like, he can get to the rim a little bit quicker. He's just a smart player. And I think what we're getting right now, depending on if Otis or Grayer, are off that night, Kyer is now that next guy up. And then what we're seeing with Mar as a freshman, you're going to get unpredictable play.
I mean, 14-7 this last game.
It's huge.
We're going to need that pretty much every game.
We're going to need a lot. And so going into conference play, we're going to need a fourth guy to emerge, and notably a forward. And so going our Mar is going to have to be that guy. Because unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get it from Calixt at this moment.
Although he did start.
And yes, he is starting it in
three games in a row.
And it will come, but I'm talking about just flat out scoring, because at times we've had droughts. And so,
I mean, Greg Calixt did give us 9 points this past game. That was his highest showing of the season thus far.
Sure. And I think us putting up 86 points, that's impressive. But we need to do this on a regular basis. It can't just be a one-off game against a team that's losing by 20 to Grand Canyon State right now. So,
and you look at the game, and I think one thing you think about a little bit is Javon Green. Now, we've been on air saying we think he's going to blow up. We think his time is now. After that game versus Auburn.
Auburn, he popped.
He hit like 5 or 6 threes. He had 16 minutes, 0 points, 2 rebounds. A.J. Wilson got hurt in the game, didn't really give us much. Ian Boyd, 24 minutes, only 6 points. We're going to need more from the entire squad.
But what Green and what Calixt are doing, I mean, that's what a freshman does. I mean, you're not expecting, double digits regularly. So what Mar's doing is exceptional. It's certainly something that you never would expect out of a freshman, and that's what kind of makes him special, right? So I think we're going to expect great things from Mar later on down the road, but Green and Calixt, it will come. They're going to have their sophomore bump, and they're going to put up some points, just like Kyer and all these guys are doing right now. So, and just like Otis and Grayer did their sophomore years. We have a ton of youth on this team. I think sometimes we forget, like, it's just so young. I mean, our oldest players right now are currently just juniors.
We were watching the Rhode Island versus
Florida Gulf Coast
team.
Yeah.
And they showed up a graphic of, you know, how experienced the A-10 is. And it's rather inexperienced. I mean, Rhode Island led the charge with like 2 and some change years of experience. I mean, Mason was pretty low on that graphic. So
they didn't even show us on the graphic because we were that low.
Right. So I mean, you just kind of see the A-10 could be building for another kind of 4 to 5 year in the next couple years. And hopefully Mason is a part of that.
It's certainly not this year, because right now it's essentially a St. Bonaventure, Rhode Island type year. I mean, if VCU maybe, you know, squeaks out some wins, sure, maybe they
can
make it.
But they haven't looked that hot. And they had a hard schedule as well.
Certainly. But St. Bonaventure is the real deal. Rhode Island is a real deal. I can't say that about any other team in the A-10.
Right.
I
mean, LaSalle's kind of,
a lot of teams.
Surprising a little bit.
But right now, every team in the A-10 essentially has 5, 6, or 7 wins. All the way down until, you know, Richmond, who U of R has 2 wins. They are just a shit show.
So going into the A-10 play, you have to be fairly confident that Mason can semi-turn it around,
or at least maintain
how we've played thus far. We're 6-7 now.
I think what we're going to get...
Could have beat William and Mary. Should be 7-6.
Yeah, but...
Speaking of disappointing losses.
Right. And so what I'm going to expect the rest of the A-10 play, considering that the A-10 is not that strong, you're going to get 6-7 play the whole year. I think we're going to be a sub-500 type team in conference play.
I actually think you're wrong.
I think we
turn it around a little bit. I think we finish with 17 to 18 wins. Why? Because I think we're young, and I think we're hungry, and I think we're athletic. And I know we don't have a deep bench, but I think we can expose some teams. Not a great three-point shooting team, but if Grayer gets hot.
We've been flat out cold in some games. I think there was a game where we didn't even make a single three, or maybe just one or so. And so I think that We've had off nights, and maybe those will come around. Maybe it's due theory. Maybe we're due to hit our threes. Maybe, you know.
I do think we're due to go on a little bit of a run. Certainly. We haven't seen a run yet. We thought we'd see a run in that kind of, you know.
Well, here's the problem with beating a team 86-79, you know, it was our last out-of-conference game, and we have like a week and a half layoff. You have no momentum going into your next game against Rhode Island.
Do you lose your momentum?
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, it's, you know, you got finals or you know, Christmas and all that other good stuff. So, yeah, I mean.
Hopefully the guys went home. They got a good break.
I mean, if anybody needs a rest, it's our guys. We have eight. And so a lot of teams have the, you know, the luxury of playing, you know, 12 guys or so. So, I mean, look. We're going to benefit from rest more than any other team in the A-10 right now because we have a very short bench and everyone's getting play. And so that will be a benefit and, you know, also, you know, it's going to hold us back at times. And so.
But I do think, like, this year we have potential to beat a GW, which we haven't done yet since we've joined the A-10. We can beat up on some of these teams. I think we can beat a Davidson, a LaSalle. We have their number. U of R. You know, I think we could.
Those are teams that we do, in fact, have their numbers.
And
then
do we beat VCU this year? Maybe. Like, do we compete with some of those top-tier teams in the A-10? I think we do. I think that we kind of show out and build momentum going into next year. Paulson called this a two-year process. He better perform in the A-10
right
now.
Right. And so let's not forget with Rhode Island. We played Rhode Island when we went on that skiing trip, and it wasn't a blowout win by Rhode Island.
A blowout originally, and we actually came back. I think we took the lead late in the second and fizzled.
It was actually a pretty competitive game on our part. Not to say that we're going to beat Rhode Island, but I think we may have some sort of matchup you know, that may favor us where we keep it competitive. So I'm not saying that we're going to win. I'm not saying that.
I think Calixt in the starting lineup gives us a different dynamic. We haven't seen that long
enough.
Dare
you say hashtag size.
Right. I mean, you know, people have been wanting it for a while, and Paulson's delivering. He made an adjustment. It needed to be made, and let's see how it pans out.
Right. So I think the moral of the story is, do we know what we're, you know, Do we know what to expect from conference play because the conference is so unpredictable, because our team is so unpredictable? No. But do we have a general idea of where this conference is going and where our team's going? I think we can comfortably say that we're going to be a 500, maybe just above 500, just below 500 team. And that's kind of all that we can really say at this point.
And there's a lot of optimism going into next year.
And we know the teams that we could beat up on. So, you know, can we hit the 18-win mark? Sure.
We'll find out.
That's about all I can say.
But as we're entering the winter, we wanted to touch on one more topic before we let you go.
Ooh, it's getting cold out.
We have some winter games, maybe some snowy games coming up. So we want to touch on some of the most memorable winter games that Chris and I were involved in. I'm going to kick it off right now talking about, we can't even remember who we played, but all we know, it was that game where the snow dropped like 6 to 8 inches right during rush hour. So my new girlfriend at the time, she gets to my house. She's a Mason alum. And she's like, well, Chris and Brian, what do you want to do?
Yeah, you guys have like a Jeep Cherokee at the time.
Yeah, she had a Jeep Cherokee. And she looks at us and she's like, what do you guys want to do? Chris and I look at each other. We look back, look at each other again, and we're like, we want to go to the Mason game.
You have
a four-wheel drive. You can get us there.
We're like roughly, what?
Under 24.
But we're under 5 miles to the campus.
Right.
It's not like it's a struggle to get
there.
We're
right next to Pan Am Shopping Center with the Outback. You know, if we score 70 points or whatever, you get six free bonus wings.
We lived right behind that.
So we talk her into driving. This is the time she's trying to impress me. You know, I'm some big hottie, big silly. And she's like, I want to impress this guy. So I'm going to say, okay. You know, I had a Civic. Chris had like a Crown Vic or something at the time.
Okay, is it Chrysler?
And so we talked her into driving. We get off onto 50. And
what? What happens?
It was nonstop traffic. We went from 50 to like Nutley and just around Pan Am, and we didn't go anywhere. She was heated. We were sliding all over the roads. We didn't even make the game. I don't believe the game was played.
I don't think so either.
It was complete mayhem. Our friend Word parked like 4 miles away, walked
over, and then ended up just playing Halo the rest of the night.
It was a wild evening. Needless to say, we didn't get there, but there's a couple other games we have in our recent memory.
So there's actually one that comes to mind from 2010, February, in fact. This was a game that there was a lot of hype going into it. This may have been Larinaga's final year.
Second to last year.
I think it might have been his last. And so VCU's traveling to Mason, and there's a lot of hype. I think we have a pretty good conference record at the time. The overall record's pretty good. So I think the notion was we really wanted to sell out the crowd. We really wanted to pack the stadium. So the student turnout actually, I believe, broke a record, if you remember correctly. But because it was
students had nothing else to
do. It was a snowstorm.
You might as well walk.
We actually got a legit
Patriot
snowstorm,
Center.
and we actually got an overtime thriller versus VCU, regular season win, February 10th or 20th, 2010. So look that game up. Cam Long helped us out with that win, but I just remember walking out to the parking lot, driving back to Covington. We took a picture out in the snow.
Which you all have seen. We posted on our Instagram.
Unfortunately, though, the actual season ticket holders did not show up, but the students showed up. And
we went ham.
As anybody knows, like, the student section will bring 99% of the noise in the entire arena.
We,
like,
sat right next to the green machine. That was my first time that we – because we usually sat on the opposite side. We sat on the same side of the green as the green machine. And we just went hard. We brought all of our friends. I believe because it was snowing, it was one of those bring,
like,
a friend,
just bring
for free.
Get anybody through these doors,
right,
essentially.
And so we loaded it up. It was actually Larinaga's second to last year because he took us to the March Madness the next year. It was that year, I believe we finished 17-15.
Fairfield loss, right.
We beat VCU. And
that's when we were beating them in the regular season, but not beating them in the CAA championship or CAA tournament.
So
but let's bring up the game that never happened, that actually made national news. If you remember, just like a few years ago, I think it may be in our final year versus CAA. You know, we had a game scheduled versus Towson, and Towson's not too far away. So apparently the team thought that they could probably just make it during rush hour, but they leave after the snow starts falling and they get stranded. They got stranded on the road and missed the game.
In fact, I think they may have been stranded like overnight.
Something
like may
like
have
that.
Like slept on the bus.
Right.
And so they never actually made it to Fairfax. And
it's like, thanks, Towson. Like, you know, this is a team that I think
we could have used the win.
Right. That was when Towson was an easy win.
Right. And so, you know, just trying to look back at some couple funnies in our winter history past.
Specific to snow, essentially.
But gotta say, we're pretty excited for A-10 play. I think we can be competitive in the A-10. It's a down year. Don't want to get into the specifics. That's why we got PD Buckets. Follow him on Twitter.
PD!
At PD Buckets for all A-10 news. Guys, this is By George. My name's Brian.
My name is Chris.
And we love all of you. Thank you for listening. And
we
get
the
ready to whoop up on the A-10.
Bye-bye, Rhode Island. Daddy was dumb, said that I'd be something special, brought me up tough. But I was a gentle human, said that he loved.